I just want to join my brother in appreciating the saints here in Jackson for inviting us to the conference. Normally, I would be in Zambia right now, and just as it works out, Kelly got me at the right time, and I was available, so. But we appreciate the invitation. Now, I'm going to just sort of preface what I'm about to say with, I'll apologize to our brother Valance and to our brother Higgins up front and any other medical people. I'm not medical, other than I have O negative blood. That's as medical as I get, which means I can give to any of you if you're down, so don't worry about it. Haven't had malaria, so you're all good. But I would just like, for a moment, before everybody rushes out for probably what's going to be a really good supper, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to look at your hand, or your hands. Take a look at your hand. Go ahead. Take a good look at it. Now, this is all from Google, so if the numbers are wrong, forgive me. Your hand is formed on week 5 of pregnancy. The skin on your hands is thicker than the skin on your forearm or your thighs. There's 27 bones. The bones in the fingers are no stronger than a pencil lead. 34 muscles that move the fingers and the thumb. 48 named nerves, including 3 major nerves and 24 sensory branches and 21 muscular branches. Are you still looking at your hand? 30 named arteries plus smaller branches. 123 named ligaments, opposable thumb, and 1/6 of all work-related injuries involve your fingers. And I'm a witness to that because I tried to cut mine off with a table saw. But I want you to think about your hands. And let's read together, please, in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. This is Jesus. And behold, a leper came to him, knelt down before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now we'll touch on other verses and read other verses, but I want to start with this one. If you take a study through the Bible of the Lord's hands, you're going to see some amazing things. Here in Matthew, we find that he reaches out and he touches a leper. Shouldn't have done that. The leper was unclean. He shouldn't have gotten anywhere close. The leper should have stood off and covered his mouth and cried, "Unclean, unclean." But the Lord went and he touched him. If you look through the scriptures, there were things that weren't to be touched. And even in the beginning, Genesis, Eve made that big mistake. Satan says to the Lord, "Say you," and she said, "Well, we're not supposed to touch it or eat of it or we're going to die." Well, the Lord didn't say that, but she associated that tree as being something you're not to eat and you're not to touch it. Touch is so important. We've been hearing about mothers. The touch is so important. And the Lord comes to this leper and he touches him. And he says, "Be clean." He touched the untouchable. And if you read down Matthew 8, you'll find he touched one with a fever. And it was Jairus' daughter, and raised her up. And you'll find that he takes children up in his arms and he touches them and he blesses them. So as you are looking at your hand, Is there someone or something that you are unwilling to touch for the service of the Master? Is there something you're not willing to put your hand to for the service of the Master? Here the Lord touches the untouchable. And maybe you have a good reason in your mind. We've invited people to Zambia. Come visit. Do you have bugs? Yeah, we got a lot. Do you have snakes? Yeah, we got a lot of those too. 7 of the top 10 deadliest snakes in the world. We've got them. I'm not going. Is there something that you're not willing to do for the service of the Master? And I'm going to echo my brethren, and we're so glad to see the children. We're so glad parents have brought their children, but, Sunday school, they get snot all over the place. I don't want those children, getting, this is a good suit, and I don't. And they spill their drink and the cookie. Really? Is there something that you won't touch for the service of the Master? Go ahead, take a look at your hand again. And when you're taking a look at your hand, remember His hands. He touched lepers. He walked over and He touched the frame of a young man who had died, and the widow mother walking beside him. He touched that frame, and He raised that boy back to life for the widow of Nain. What did the law say? 7 days, unclean. Dead body, unclean. You look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the priest and the Levite, we use it in the gospel, we should use it in ministry too maybe. The priest and the Levite passes by, and the Samaritan comes, and what does he do? He touches him. He pours in oil and wine, and he binds up his wounds, and he puts, you ever tried to lift somebody who's dead weight? And he puts that man on his beast, and he takes him to an inn. He touches him. Take a look at your hands again for me, would you? What are you not willing to do in service of the Master? There is a work to be done. I'm gonna keep pushing this. Trust you'll forgive me if you get annoyed. There's a work to be done. And I'm looking at young people, and I can tell you this, the fields are white on a harvest. Many years ago, the 1980s, my grandfather, Vernon Markle, he was in his late 70s. And at a Toronto conference with hundreds in attendance, he held up his plane ticket to El Salvador. They were going out again in full-time work. And at 75 plus years of age, he waved that ticket and he said, "Where are all the young men? Where are all the young men? Where are all the young women?" I'm not 70. I won't do that to you. There is a field white on harvest. Could be Central South America. It could be Africa. Could be Europe. Could be Asia. It might even be America and Canada. There are fields white unto harvest. Where are the laborers? What are you not willing to touch in service for the Master? He is asking us to go out. Could be our community. Could be as simple and as close as that. And He's asking us to get dirt under our nails. Get our hands dirty in service for Him. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to get in and get our hands dirty for the Master? And we sing songs sometimes, and I wonder if we actually listen to the words sometimes. We sing them heartily, we sing them with harmonies, and do we actually listen to the words? Here's a well-known hymn. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. We like that one, don't we? Power in the blood. Do you know what verse 4 says? Would you do service for Jesus your King? Would you? Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. How about this well-known one? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. The morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Verse 2. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. There is a work to do. And if I could, in some small way, call you out to work. We must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Let's look at Psalms 22, please. Psalm 22, another well-known verse. Psalm 22 and 16. This is the prophetic writing. Psalm 22, 16. For dogs encompass me, a company of evil doers encircle me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Hands of sacrifice. Hands of sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice something for the Master? Can I put it in simple terms? Are you willing to give something up? I'm going to speak heresies here for a minute. I'll just lay that foundation down right now. I'm going to speak heresies. Imagine for a moment you put that phone down so that you can work for the Master. Just put it down. That mobile device, just put it down. Free up your hands for service for the Master. Free up your mind. Get focused on working for Him. Put the device away. They're important and necessary. I understand that. Believe me, when I'm talking to a brother in Zambia on WhatsApp, I think it's great. But I think there are times when we need to put that down and get working for the Master. We have no idea how long we have. Absolutely no idea. It could be tomorrow that we hear that. It could be today. We hear that shout. Arise, come away. And the Master rises and He shuts the door. And the opportunity is past. Our work on earth is done. I'm not trying to chastise anybody. I look over this audience. Some I know and many I don't. I'm not here to point fingers by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm certainly not here to claim to be holier than anybody else. Not by any stretch. But I would like to challenge you. Take a look at your hand and just ask yourself, is there something that I can put my hand to in service and sacrifice for the Master? Take a look around your assembly. Take a look around your community. Take a look around your workplace, your school. Just take a look around. Back in 2012, I was invited to the high school in Chitokoloki. My wife and I sponsored some children who were very clever, and at the time, they had to pay school fees. That's been abolished by the current government, but they had to pay school fees, and many couldn't afford it. And these kids were smart, but they couldn't afford it. So we sponsored them. And I was invited to the school for a parent-teacher association meeting. And at that meeting, the chairman of the parent-teacher association retired/resigned. And so there was an election. And I was elected as PTA chair with 74% of the vote. And I hadn't even run. And I didn't want it. I kept telling them, no, you don't understand. I didn't run. Oh, but Mr. Sean, you've been elected. Yes, but I didn't run. And begrudgingly, I took the job. 1 year job that lasted 9 years. Because they wouldn't hold any more elections. And because I was begrudgingly, I'll be honest with you, begrudgingly willing to take up that job, I got into that high school. And young people began opening up. They began to get to know me. The teachers began to get to know me. The work that I was doing for the school on their behalf and doing things that I was really not qualified to do, like carpentry and electrical and building. But because I was willing to put my hand to something, even though it started begrudgingly, the Lord took it and He blessed it. You see, He had it all figured out right from the beginning anyway. Maybe there is something that the Lord seems to be presenting to you. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. Teach Sunday school. I don't want to do that. Here's always the dirty one. Pick up kids for Sunday school. They'll get mud on the back of my seat. It washes. And it's just a car. Sorry to say it, it's just a car. But maybe there's something the Lord's putting in front of you and you're really begrudging the whole thing. Do it anyway. Do it with a smile on your face, by the way. Because maybe the Lord has a plan for you in that work. And He wants you to put your hands to it. He wants your hands to be put to service and to sacrifice. And if you think it's just too much, if you think it's just too much, remember this. They pierced His hands and His feet. And there is a man in glory today with the prints of nails in His hands. For you. For me. He was willing to touch the leper. He was willing to touch the dead. And He was willing to lay on a cross and have them put nails in His hands and His feet. Hands of service, hands of sacrifice for you and for me. And I will never forget, back in 1995, I went down to visit my grandparents in El Salvador. And we went to an assembly, and there was a gentleman there, and his body was polluted with cancer. You could feel the lumps. When you shook his hand, when you touched his arm, you could feel the lumps. And somebody, and the chairs in that assembly, they didn't have cushion. They were just wood. And somebody said to him, how can you do it? He hadn't slept in months because of the pain. How could you come and sit in those chairs with the pain that you're in? And I'll never forget his response. When I think of what He suffered for me on Calvary's cross, how could I not come? You know what that man realized? He realized that a man of sacrifice was asking him to sacrifice. And he was willing to answer the call to sacrifice. I could take you through as you go down Luke 24, behold my hands and my feet. I find it amazing that one of the brothers we labor with in Zambia, he says, I love Thomas. I really love Thomas because I'm blessed because of Thomas. You see, when Thomas doubted, and we're hard on Thomas for that. I don't think we're any different. But when the Lord finally appeared to Thomas and he said, Thomas, go ahead, behold my hands, reach hither. You ever read of Thomas touching his hands? You don't. Thomas, he saw the nail print and he realized those are hands that were sacrificed for me. And it made him bow his knee, my Lord, my God. I wonder if we'd ever be willing to make such a confession after being so wrong. How about those two on the road to Emmaus? As they're walking and they're met by this stranger who, don't you know what's going on? Have you not heard what just happened? We thought. And he begins to open up all the scriptures of himself. And it means nothing to them. Until he gets to their house and he made as if he would go a bit farther. And they compelled him to come in. And what does it say? It says, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and he broke it. And what did they see? They saw his hands. They saw his hands. And it made them run all the way back and tell them what they had seen. When I think of what his hands endured for me, what am I not willing to do for him? What am I not willing to touch for him? I could go into his hands of salvation. You know, you look at that great story in Matthew 14 of the disciples out on the ship and the Lord comes walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. I really like Peter. Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, but I got to be honest, I don't think that was a really smart statement. Because if it was anything else, it could have said to come as well. But Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And so he tells him to come. And Peter, as we know, he gets out and he walks on water. And that's why I say we can't be hard on Peter. Because if I seriously ask for a show of hands, in Jackson right now, who here has walked on water? Nobody's putting up their hand. Peter walked on water. But Peter starts to sink and he says, Lord, save me. What happens? The Lord reaches out his hand and he saves him. He reaches out his hand and he saves him. I thought about apologizing, but I'm not going to. This is where the missionary kicks in and the gospel comes. If there is somebody here this afternoon and you're not saved, there is a Savior. And he's standing waiting to stretch out his hand and save you. Right here, right now. If you have come to a realization that you are dead in your sins and you need to be saved, he's waiting to stretch out his hand and save you. And he stretches out his hand to Peter and he catches him and he says, oh, ye of little faith. I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that there have been times in my life that I've had to ask him to save me and he's reached out his hand. Situations, the flood is coming over. Spending all night in prayer, because you just can't sleep. And just when you think you're going under, he stretches out his hand and he grabs you and he saves you. There are those that he raised to life. There were blind that he would make mud. Make mud. Afraid of getting your hands dirty? He wasn't. He made mud. And he put it on the eyes of the blind. Go wash. If I could get you as you walk away from this conference, and this is not a pun, but if I could get you to get a hold of this, just get a hold of this. What am I not willing to do in service and sacrifice for the Master? What am I not willing to touch? He got his hands dirty. And he had nails. And I believe he willingly put his hands on the cross so they could drive nails in them. And he did it for you and for me. And if he did that for us, what are we not willing to do for him? If he asked us to go and help the homeless in a rough part of... Is there a rough part in Jackson? I'm just going to say yes because there's a rough part everywhere. If he asked you to go and touch the homeless in the rough part of wherever you come from, would you be willing to do it? If he asked you to go to a homeless shelter and touch those in a homeless shelter, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing? Would I be willing to do it? Is there anything that the Master could ask me to do with these hands that I would not be willing to do? Because when I think of what his hands did for me, I should be willing to give these hands in full service and full sacrifice for the Master. So this is an encouragement. Be ready to serve. Be ready to sacrifice. The Master may come to you today, and ask you to do something that you may not be willing to do. Please do it. We've heard the stories of individuals who changed lives. Maybe there's something that you can do in service for the Master that won't just change one life. It might change a generation. It might change two generations. So I'll close with this. Hands of service, hands of sacrifice. Take a look at your hands. Take a look at your hands. What are you not willing to do for the Master?